The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. As a cancer survivor, let me offer you a little piece of advice. Don't get cancer. If you decide to be a rebel and get cancer anyway, you might be wondering what you can expect on your cancer journey. Well, in this series, I will be breaking down what is fact and what is fiction when it comes to the typical cancer experience. This is Cancer Culture. Time's the charm, isn't it? A fun little side tangent. I've been trying to come up with cancer pickup lines because I've had this song by Francis Forever stuck in my head. It's called Space Girl. And there's a lyric that says, "Girl, are you a cancer? Because you make me cry." And I don't imagine that's the zodiac sign cancer, because from everything I know about a cancer is that they're kind of sad, right? They're very emotional. So I've been trying to come up with some fun cancer-themed pickup lines. I guess mine would be, girl, are you a cancer? Because you stole my left boob and I'd like it back. So, as I mentioned in the last episode, my idea for this was to compare fictional narratives of people having cancer to actual stories of people having cancer, whether it be through autobiography or through interviews, with the implication that the two narratives are going to be extremely different. And, of course, what I went for first was The Fault in Our Stars, my grumpy hipster ass was all like, I'm gonna tear John Green to shreds. I'm gonna show this man he doesn't know cancer. I know cancer. Cancer and I are best friends, John Green. And I think about them all the time. They touched me before they touched you. Ew. I don't know. I tried to make that, like, fun or work as if it were a human, but that was not it. Long story short, I was ready to tear John Green a new one. Because, yeah, I'll be honest, I didn't think that was going to be the highest of literature. It is a YA novel. I hate to be one of those people who don't expect the most from YA novels, but you know. I grew up when Twilight was popular. Okay, I've got a warped perception. Imagine my surprise that this thing was actually really good. And not just a good narrative. It was a good cancer story too. So I went into this expecting one of those stories where it's, you know, I knew both of them had cancer, but I expected it to be a story similar to one of those cancer romance narratives of, you know, cancer person falls in love with healthy person and cancer person dies and it makes the healthy person realize that, oh, life is precious and oh, I need to savor every moment, which... Can we just take a side note and realize how ableist that whole thing is? Not just because the sick person dies at the end, but they're mostly just used as a prop to teach the healthy person a lesson. Another big problem is, you know, just the implication of, you know, you should be happy every day, because yeah, that implies that everybody has a certain sort of brain makeup. And not everybody has that. Not everybody can be happy every day. So, just a horrible, horrible narrative. I need to try to find more for this. But it wasn't one of those narratives at all. And in listening to interviews with John Green, he was actively working against that, which I definitely appreciated and I was really surprised by. But yeah, John Green really seemed to understand the mindset of being a young person with cancer. For example, Hazel Grace, the main character and the prospective character, is kind of always waiting for the next bad thing to happen. And I know for myself, that's definitely the case. You know, anytime there's anything slightly wrong, I'm just like, great, this is the big one. I guess just from my own experience, it is so hard to stay positive when the doctors tell you there's only a 3% chance that this is breast cancer, and then later on they say there's a 40% chance that you can develop ovarian cancer or this cancer or this cancer, because it's like, well, the odds were not in my favor the first time. I don't imagine they'll be any nicer this time around. Yeah, I recently had another cancer scare, but it is just, yeah, waiting for something horrible to happen. So the reason that John Green really seemed to know his stuff when it came to cancer was because he actually spent some time as a student chaplain for a children's hospital in Ohio. He spent 5 months doing that right out of college. He was 22 at the time. And it shows that he really had a deep love for these kids and teens. And he tried to put sort of things from his own experience with these kids within the book. He wanted to make a narrative for all of the people who died young, whose lives were valuable. So I'm having a bit of a crisis now with this podcast, because my whole idea was to go step by step through the cancer journey, go from diagnosis to treatment to the next thing. But unfortunately, I can't do that on the one piece of media that I spent the most time on. So I am having a bit of a crisis, because of course I want to talk about The Fault in Our Stars, but there's only so much that I can really do with that. So in section two, here's my plan. I'm going to introduce you to Miriam Engelberg. She created an autobiographical series of comics about her cancer journey, and she does take it step by step. Unlike John Green, who doesn't know cancer. Frickin' John Green. I have nothing against the man. I'm a bitter person, what can I say? So I'm going to look at Miriam Engelberg's comics. She created the comic Cancer Made Me a Shallower Person, and see what I can compare between her comic from The Fault in Our Stars, if I have anything to say about anything else. So that is what you can expect in the second half of the podcast, which will be happening in 3, 2, 1. Hello. So the other book I started looking at is the book Cancer Made Me a Shallower Person, a memoir in comics by Miriam Engelberg. So I'll be honest, I just found this book while browsing on Amazon, and Amazon decided to recommend me a bunch of different cancer books, and this was one of them. And I wasn't initially familiar with it. I wasn't familiar with Miriam Engelberg's other works, but I've been pleasantly surprised so far. She is also a breast cancer survivor, so it is really nice seeing kind of a perspective similar to mine. In the About the Author section, Miriam Engelberg is the author of Planet 501c3, Tales of the Nonprofit Galaxy, and Tantrum Comics. Her work has been published in the San Francisco Bay Guardian, Nonprofit Quarterly, and Cases Current magazine. She is survived by her husband and son. I didn't know she had died. So I wanted to look up how Miriam Engelberg died, just because I wanted to make sure that it was cancer, and it was. This is a quote from the Wikipedia article on Miriam Engelberg. In August 2006, Engelberg revealed in her blog that the cancer had spread to her brain, and she was receiving palliative care through home hospice. Man, so that just hit really close just because in reading it, I related very closely to her. When you've had cancer and when it seems to go well and seems to go away, I don't know, you kind of just wait for the next bad thing to happen, health-wise. I don't know, knowing that the next bad thing happened to her. It's sad. But anyway, we have fun. This is fun. Miriam Engelberg has this whole intro section where she talks a little bit about herself. She talks a little bit about her experience having cancer. Something that I found really interesting was that she states that she felt as though she had to be somebody else when she was diagnosed with cancer. She felt that she had to be this very courageous, very stoic figure that you see in media. Which feels very similar to what I was talking about earlier with a lot of times sick people or cancer patients in media being depicted as these more like role models or props. And they're not depicted as having human emotion. It's just more that they're, you know, so heroic and so strong and they're going through this. So here's the direct quote that she says in the introduction. They say hardship reveals one's true character, and it was clear right away that I wouldn't be the heroic type of cancer patient portrayed in so many television shows and movies. I would like to talk about kind of how the word courage or bravery can be kind of harmful to a cancer patient as well. I noticed as somebody who's had a lot of medical issues, I'm honestly sick of people calling me courageous for doing all that. I know, I've never seen it as doing something courageous. I've seen it as doing something that needs to be done. I've seen it as a chore, essentially. Also, in the introduction, she mentions that she didn't realize what a big impact being diagnosed with cancer would be on her life. She says, but what I hadn't counted on is the degree of interruption provided by cancer. At the beginning of my relationship with cancer, I too viewed it as something temporary. I had no idea that it would become a constant presence. At first, it feels like, yeah, I'll just get the tumor out and it'll be all over. But it won't be. And things are taken very seriously from this point on. I had a little minor medical thing earlier this week. I've been having some ongoing symptoms. You know, I emailed my doctors right away and I told them, you know, this is what I'm experiencing. I'm currently on this medication that says that it could cause some problems and that these might be signs of problems. And they immediately went to a biopsy. They immediately went, you're going to get a biopsy on Monday. And I went in super duper scared, super duper upset that I have to get another biopsy. And it hasn't even been a year since I was first diagnosed with cancer. And the doctor was nice enough to say, maybe we don't need a biopsy and maybe we could just see if this is something else and try to cure it with medication. To which I said, thank you. But, and then of course I'm doing this whole podcast. So yeah, you really don't expect cancer to shape you that much. Engelberg also says, when I was first diagnosed, I felt pressure to become someone different, someone nobler, more courageous than I was. But maybe nobility and courage aren't the only approaches to life with illness. Maybe the path of shallowness deserves more attention. Which, same girl, same. In the coming episode, we are going to be looking at the cancer experience as described by Cancer Made Me a Shallower Person, as well as Cancer Vixen. I would also like to look a little bit more at the pamphlets that I received to see what they say about each stage of cancer. I would also like to try to find something that is more in line narratively to what I'm looking at than John Green's book. Frickin' John Green. I don't want to say this because I know I'm going to jinx things, but I did send an email to John Green's publicist. I know I'm not going to get in touch with him. I know, but I'm just thinking if he ever listens to this, like, he's probably going to be like, oh, thank God I didn't talk to that girl. Jeez, she hates me. I don't hate John Green. I just get grumpy because I'm not best friends with cancer. So thank you so much for tuning into episode 2 of Cancer Culture. I did not realize how short 15 minutes is. And with that, my left lymph node is hurting. And I hope to see you in the next episode of Cancer Culture. Of Cancer Culture. Of Cancer Culture. Cancer Culture. I feel like the first time I said that, my throat caught. And I just want it to sound good. And now I know I have to include this whole bit because, you know, I'll be like, what a loser. What a loser past me was. Can't say cancer culture. Cancer culture.